are the men, those who come on a prayer meeting, did actually pray for one of our members on Wednesday. But we have one of our members who had an operation on Tuesday, although she's here, but you need to continue to remember her in your prayer, and that is Jennifer Smith. Let's pray. Our most eternal and everlasting Father, how grateful we are that we are your children. How grateful that we have a high priest who stands in the inner sanctuaries of heaven, pleading on our behalf. Father, we know we are in a tumultuous times, and we also know that underneath are the everlasting arms by which you sustain us. So you have given us your word in written form, because you have also declared that that will be the stability of our times. So we have gathered together to study a portion of it, believing and trusting that yes, by using them, you will honor your word and you show yourself more faithful than we can even imagine or think. So, Father, as we gather this morning, we also realize that the human mind is incapable of understanding anything that is spiritual apart from the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we request now the Holy Spirit, the perfect communicator, will enable us to hear exactly and understand what you have for us this morning. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen. We are in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21 that we've been considering for a long time, and we will end it today. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to read verse 21 because that's all we're going to expand on this morning. It reads, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, as we're going to go through this passage, it will become evident to you the importance of having someone else who is, you know, dedicated or things like that, to actually dig into the scripture. Because sometimes the way they read in English don't really make much sense if you think about it. This is one of those passages. It doesn't even come close to what we have just read in terms of its meaning. It's not that the words are wrong, it's just the meaning that's intended. Now, there is, of course, a problem with how to classify this verse, which is whether we should take it as part of the section that begins in verse 18, or to take it as a part of the section that begins in verse 22. Now, the Greek grammatical construction suggests that we take verse 21 as part of the section that began in verse 18, since that is where amen verb, that is the command to be filled of the Spirit, is given, while beginning from verse 19, we have participles that are connected with the command in verse 18. Now, what I'm saying is really the way we study from the Greek is there is a main verb, and there are other things that hang on to that main verb. That's what, like participles in this particular case. So the main verb is in verse 18, which is the command to be filled of the Spirit. Then all the other things that come in hang on it. Now, so that's why we are saying that verse 21 should belong to the section that begins in verse 18 and ends in verse 21. Now, verse 21 contains one of these participles, so it makes sense then to take it as being connected to verse 21. I mean, verse 21 being connected to verse 18. Now, in fact, in all editions of the Greek New Testament, They all join this verse to the preceding section that begins in verse 18, of course, so that what they do is they join it to verse 21. But most of our modern English versions join it to the section that begins with verse 22. Now, verse 21, if you take our what we call our Greek books or testaments, there are various versions of it. If we take those, if you anyone you look, they put verse 21 as part of verse 18, so that they look at that section. But our English versions take 21 and group it with verse 22, most of them. Anyway, taking verse 21 as part of the section that begins with verse 22 is warranted by the context, as some say, and also because without verse 21, there is no verb that will go with verse 22 in the Greek. Now, all in all, though, it is probably better to take verse 21 as a transitional verse. In other words, we see it as ending the section that begins in verse 18, but introducing the section that begins in verse 22. So that's why we'll see it as a transitional verse. Now, so with this explanation that we have given, we have now come to the fifth and the final result of the filling of the Spirit as the Apostle Paul gives it in the section of Ephesians chapter 5 verses 19 through 21. This fifth and final result of the filling of the Spirit is being obedient to a proper authority constituted by God. And I'm going to expand on this because everything that we're going to be dealing with for next week, it hinges on what I've just said. Because unless you understand that you cannot truly obey a person, as I'm going to be arguing, you can't truly obey a person unless you're filled of the Spirit. You can't do that. That's what I'm going to be arguing. And that is the key to what we're going to be studying from next week. You must understand that to have what I call a true obedience, you must be filled of the Spirit. Otherwise, you can't. You obey grudgingly, you obey murmuring, you obey thinking anything, because you're in fear. But for you to have a genuine obedience, you must be filled of the Spirit. That is all we're going to develop this morning. It will take us 2 hours, but that's all we're going to be dealing with. That to be filled of the Spirit, the result is a true obedience. Now, it is disobedience to properly constituted authority that is given in the NIV in the instruction, submit to one another, which literally from the Greek reads, submitting to each other. That's what the Greek reads. Literally, submitting to each other. Again, we should remind you that we have argued that the translation of the NIV is one possible way of interpreting a Greek participle that literally reads submitting. Now, however, as we indicated, the translation of the NIV could hardly be what the apostle intended, since there is no reason in the text to take the participle that literally reads as submitting as a command, as we've already argued at the introduction of the section that began in verse 19. Instead, though, it is better to take the participle as giving a result of the filling of the Spirit that is commanded in Ephesians 5 verse 18. So, what is this submitting to each other that is the result of the filling of the Spirit. What is it? Because the passage we have just read says, submit to one another. And I'm saying, of course, it's not a command. It's a submitting. So, what is this submitting that results from the filling of the Spirit? Because I've already given you the answer before I started, but we'll go on to develop it. Anyway, this question is important because of the difficulty the word submit has presented to many believers, including those who are interpreters of the scripture in general. It is necessary to understand what the apostle meant with respect to submitting to each other in this passage because of the difficulty and the improper understanding of this passage, of this submitting causes with respect to the other parts of the scripture. Now, for example, the difficulty of understanding what submission means in our passage has led some to teach that the husband should submit to the wife as the wife submits to the husband. There's a group, a whole conference in this country. That's what they taught in one of the biggest denominations in this country. But that's what they taught. That's what this now means. That it means a husband should submit to the wife as a wife submits to the husband. Which definitely contradicts the scripture or the order God ordained from the time of creation of man and woman. But that's what they teach. Because that's the way, if you don't really spend some time in this passage, that's the way it is on the surface. Now this application that some contend today, as I said, results from interpreting verse 21 to mean a general principle of what they call mutual submission by all spirit-filled Christians. That of course, it means that those who are all Christians filled of the Spirit, that then they must have that mutual submission to one another. Now really, to deal with the difficulty, and you're going to say why this is difficult to interpret. Because what I'm going to be doing now, I'll give you something that you may, within 1 hour, 2 hours, but that's something that took me over 18 hours to dig out. So you may think, oh yeah, it's so simple. But that's not. Anyway, to deal with the difficulty of interpreting what it means that a result of the filling of the Spirit is submitting to each other, as it reads in our verse, requires we begin with the consideration of two related words that are used in the English translation of our scripture. Because I think that's part of the thing that causes a problem. And that is the word submit and obey. Those two words. And I'm going to spend some time with those two words. Submit and obey. To me, that's the key. Part of it, anyway. Now, some maintain a strict distinction between the two. In that they say to submit is concerned with yielding to the control of another. Yielding to the control of another. While to obey is concerned with complying with an order. But it seems that it is difficult to maintain any strong distinction between the two. Because if you're able to make a distinction, an absolute distinction between the two, then you have a problem with verse 21 that was studied. But I'm going to be arguing, you can't. It's very difficult to make an absolute distinction between the two words. So in other words,
to support our point then, that a strict distinction of the two words is difficult to sustain. We will then examine the two words as used in the scripture. That's where we go. Now the word submit in the Old Testament scripture is translated primarily from two Hebrew words. The first Hebrew word translated to submit in our English Bibles means either to be bowed down, or the other meaning is not even related, to be afflicted. That's the first, I'm not giving you the Hebrew word, but the first Hebrew word really is the Hebrew word ana, but I'm not going to worry about it. It means to bow down or to be afflicted. Of course, like again, you want to see all that? Go to the internet, get my note, and you get all the Hebrew word if you want to. Now, in some Hebrew forms, the word means to humble oneself, to submit, as it is used in the instruction of the angel of the Lord to Hagar to return to her mistress, Sarah, and to submit to her in Genesis chapter 16, verse 9. Genesis chapter 16, verse 9. Genesis chapter 16, verse 9 reads, then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. The first Hebrew word that we are here is translated submit to her. Now, a second Hebrew word that is also translated submit in our Old Testament scripture can mean to act deceptively. It can mean to disappoint. But in some Hebrew form, what they call the PL, it can mean to feign obedience. To cringe or to cower. That has a sense of to show submission, of course, or to show fear in Psalms 18, verse 44. He reads, as soon as they hear me, they obey me. Foreigners cringe before me. That's a Hebrew word that translates submit. Now the word cringe though is translated submit in the New American Standard Bible and the New English Translation. Both of them use the meaning submit. Now besides the two Hebrew words we have discussed, the concept of submission is reflected in a Hebrew idiom that uses a Hebrew word that means to give in connection with another Hebrew word that means hand. As in Lamentations chapter 5 verse 6. Lamentations chapter 5 verse 6. Lamentations chapter 5 verse 6 reads, we submitted to Egypt and Assyria to get enough bread. Now you see, that sentence, we submitted to Egypt. If you take the Hebrew, this is where it really reads in the Hebrew. We have given the hand to Egypt. That's the way it reads in the Hebrew. We have given the hand to Egypt. That is the same with submitted, which is really a Semitic idiom
meaning to make a treaty with someone, placing oneself in a subservient position as a vessel. Now, in the New Testament, though, there are three major Greek words that translate in our translate submit, or that are translated submit in our English Bibles. And the one used in our passage of study of Ephesians 5:21 is one of them. But where we defer is consideration later, as it's important that we focus on the word because of the problem of the passage. So I'm not going to talk about that one for now. Then I move to the second and the third one. A second Greek word that is translated submit in our English versions is concerned with conforming to rules and regulations, or being put under obligations by rules or ordinances. And so it can mean something like to obligate. That Greek word appears only once in the Greek New Testament, in Colossians chapter 2 verse 20. Colossians 2 verse 20. Colossians 2 verse 20 reads, "Since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why, as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules?" Now, the sense of the second Greek word here in Colossians 2 is really to be regulated. Why are you still being regulated by it? Not just submit, but being regulated. Now, the third Greek word translates submit in our English Bibles means literally to give way to, or to withdraw. But figuratively, it means to yield, to give way, to submit. That also appears only once in the Greek New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. It reads, "Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden. For that will be of no advantage to you." Now the sense of this third Greek word here in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 17, translated submit, seems to be that of yielding to the control of another. Yielding to the control of another. Now, detailed then consideration, which I'm truncated, I'm just giving you a sample, but what are the detailed consideration I had to look at of the Hebrew and Greek words that are most often translated to submit in our English versions implies two factors with respect to the word submit. A first factor is humility. That's the first factor, humility. So that submission involves humility. What I'm saying? Without humility, no submission. Very simple. A second factor is subservient position. And so that submission is concerned with obedience, either forced or willingly given. Now think of what I mean by forced obedience is, something happened. Let me take you to your work place as an example. And the boss says, "Go do it that way. That's what I said."
You have a choice. I don't want to do it. I quit. I get fired. Or if you realize, man, if I quit now, I'll starve. You will go and do it. That is called a forced obedience. You didn't do it willingly. You didn't want to do it. But you did it because you know you're afraid of your job. So that's what we're talking about. That really, that the second factor is subservient position. And so that submission is concerned with obedience, either whether it's forced or willingly. So in effect, a person who submits yields to another person's authority, either willingly or forced upon the individual, so that the individual feigns obedience. Feigns obedience. That's pretends obedience. That's what I'm saying. The word feigns, I mean pretends obedience. They obey, but they're pretending. It's not coming from their mind. They didn't want to do it. They pretend. So that's the thing that we need to understand about the Greek and Hebrew words translated submit in our English versions. That it has a factor of humility and then the factor of obeying but under some kind of force situation. The second word that we need to look at is the word obey. Because remember, the whole thing I'm arguing is to show you that those who say submit and obey are two distinct words. Which model what their interpretation in verse 21 is. That cannot be sustained. So we take the second word, obey. Now there are three primary Hebrew words that are translated obey in the Old Testament of the English Bibles. The first Hebrew word translated obey in our English Bibles means really to do, to make. To do, to make. That's the first meaning of the first Hebrew word. Now the word is translated obeyed by the translators of the NIV and many of our English versions in Esther chapter 1 verse 5. Esther Esther chapter 1 verse 5. Oh, I'm sorry. Esther, please, chapter 1 verse 15. Verse 15. Esther chapter 1 verse 15. This is what it reads. According to law, what must be done to Queen Vashti? He asks, she has not obeyed the command of King Xerxes that the eunuchs have taken to her. Now the first Hebrew word that I'm discussing is used twice in this passage of Esther. In this first occurrence, it is translated be done. Same Hebrew word. It's translated here, be done. But in a second occurrence, it is translated obeyed. Because it said, be not, she has not obeyed. That word obeyed and what must be done, they're from the same Hebrew word. Same Hebrew word. One time it's translated be done. The other time it's translated obeyed. So that's the first Hebrew word that it can mean to make something or to do something. Now, so if that is the case, what I'm saying is the sentence, she has not obeyed the command of King Xerxes, literally the Hebrew reads, she has not done the commands of King Xerxes. Now if you don't do the command of somebody, it means you didn't obey, right? That's why they translate obey. She did not do what the husband said do. So it's translated, he obeyed. Now the second word, Hebrew word, translated obey in our English Bibles means to be willing. To be willing. To consent. To yield to. Now it is this word that is translated submit by the translators of the NIV in Psalms 81 verse 11. Psalms 81 verse 11. Psalms 81 verse 11 reads, "But my people will not listen to me. Israel will not submit to me." See, that sentence, "Israel will not submit to me," is rendered, "Israel will not obey me," in the New American Standard Bible update. And in the NIV, while others, such as the Contemporary English Version and the New English Bible, translate it in such a way to reflect that Israel will have nothing to do with God. Have nothing to do with God. Now, a typical example of this approach is that of the God's Word translation that reads, this is the way they translate that second part. Say, "Israel wanted nothing to do with me," because they are taking the Hebrew word the way it is, to do. So they are saying, Israel did not want anything to do with, I mean, to yield to me, rather, or to do with me. So that is the way the second word, even though it is translated to obey, truly means to consent, to yield, or to be willing. Now, a third Hebrew word that is translated obey in our English Bibles means to hear or to obey, as it is used in Jeremiah chapter 38 verse 20. Jeremiah 38 verse 20. Jeremiah chapter 38 verse 20. It is, "They will not hand you over," Jeremiah replied, "obey the Lord by doing what I tell you. Then it will go well with you and your life will be spared." That word obeyed is a Hebrew word that means also to hear. Shema. But that also means to hear. Now in the New Testament, there are at least 6 Greek words that are translated obey in our English Bibles. A first Greek word that is translated obey in our English versions literally means to hear, which is similar to the Hebrew word translated, shema. Now, that word can also mean to obey, as it is used in Acts chapter 4 verse 19. And hold on, Acts, because the next 2 passages will also be in Acts. Acts chapter 4 verse 19 reads, "But Peter and John replied, 'Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God.'" Now the verbal phrase, "to obey you rather than God," is literally to listen to you rather than God. Listen to you rather than God. You know, is it right to listen to you rather than God? Now a second Greek word translated obey certainly means to obey, as it is used in Acts chapter 5 verse 29. Acts chapter 5 verse 29. Here clearly the word either way means obey. It is Peter And the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. We must obey God rather than men. However, the word can also mean to follow. To follow. As it is used in Acts 27 verse 21. Acts 27 verse 21. He reads, Acts 27 verse 21 reads, after the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you will have spared yourselves this damage and loss. Now the sentence, you should have taken my advice, is literally, you ought to have followed my advice. I mean, the thing is, sometimes when you read these things, you have to remember that we have to talk as human beings sometimes. But that doesn't mean we're ignoring the fact that God controls all things. Because even though Paul said that, he knew that it was God's plan that they did what they did. Because eventually, without them doing that, there would have been no shipwreck. And without no shipwreck, he wouldn't have evangelized the people in the island that he did. In the island of Malta. So it's all, but you see, we have to say, but you still do that. Knowing it's still God's plan. Anyway, so instead of saying, you should have taken my advice, it's literally, you ought to have followed my advice. Some English versions say, you should have obeyed my instruction. But it means you should have followed my advice. A third Greek word that is translated obey, in our English versions, can mean to convince, to persuade. But it also means to obey or to follow. As in Galatians chapter 5 verse 7. And hold on to Galatians. Once you get it, because the next passage is also in Galatians. Galatians 5 verse 7. Yeah, it reads, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? Here the word obeying the truth can also be translated following the truth. But really what it means, obeying. A fourth Greek word that is translated obey in our English Bible can mean to guard or to protect. To guard or to protect. But it also means to follow or to observe. The translators of the NIV rendered our fourth Greek word with the meaning to obey in Galatians chapter 6 verse 13. Galatians chapter 6 verse 13. He reads, not even those who are circumcised obey the law, yet they want you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your flesh. Now the clause, those who are circumcised obey the law, is more literally from the Greek, those who are circumcised observe the law themselves. Observe the law themselves. Now a fifth Greek word, as is translated obey in our English version, can mean to answer. To answer. But it also means to follow. Or to be subject to. Or even to obey. As it is used in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 14. Second Thessalonians
chapter 3, verse 14. It reads, if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of him. Do not associate with him in order that he may feel ashamed. So here, it is translated for obey, can also mean who do not follow. Now, a sixth Greek word that is translated obey in our English Bibles can mean to keep, to fulfill, to observe, especially of a law and teaching. So it simply means to obey, as it is used in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. First John chapter 5, verse 3. It reads, this is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. Now the verbal phrase to obey his command is more literally that we keep his commandments. But to keep God's commandment means to obey. Anyway, our considerations then of both the Hebrew and the Greek words translated obey in our English Bibles or versions reveals that the word obey is concerned with three factors. We haven't gone through all that. I mean, I gave you just part of it, but having gone through all the usages, three factors become evident. We'll use the word obey. A first factor is that of hearing. Hearing. And you know, how many of us don't hear what somebody tells us? We just don't hear it. Now, I'm not talking about aging problem of hearing. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying, most of us just don't hear. Now, if you don't hear, you can obey. So that's the first factor, hearing. A second factor is that of consenting to or yielding to someone. That's the second factor regarding the word obey. Consenting or yielding to someone. A third factor is that of following in the sense of doing something that's instructed. Following, that's doing what is instructed. Those are three factors that are involved in the word obey from the Greek words and the Hebrew words that we've examined. Now the reason we consider the two words, submit and obey, is simply to determine if an absolute distinction can be made between the two. That's the reason we've gone all through all this. To see, can we really differentiate it? Because if you can, then the meaning in verse 21 of Ephesians 5 that we're studying will not much be in debate. If you can have an absolute distinction. Anyway, the various Hebrews and Greek words that we have considered indicate then that the two words from the Greek or Hebrew concepts, that they have in common the concept of yielding to someone or something. That's a common trait between the two words. Yielding to something or to someone. Thus, we can say it is difficult to make an absolute distinction between the two words. So that submission is related to obedience. You can't say they are two distinct things. Because if you can say that, then the interpretation of verse 21 doesn't cause problems as people think it does. Anyway, so this conclusion that I've given to you, that the two are related, is borne out where the words obey
and submit are used together in a passage we cited previously, that is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Both words are used together, both in the Greek or the Hebrew. The same, you will find two words used, more or less. So I'm going to go back and read that passage. So I make some comments so you can see that it's difficult to differentiate those two words, obey and submit. Again, it reads, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that will be of no advantage to you. Now, on a surface reading of the passage in Hebrews, it would seem that the human author of Hebrews issued two commands. The command to obey and to submit. That's what it would look like on a surface reading. This, however, is not the case. The author, the human author, had one command in his mind that has to do with obedience. He wanted believers to obey their leaders, so he used the word obey. But he expanded what it means to obey the leaders by using the word submit. Now we say this firstly because we have shown that there is no significant difference between the word obey and submit. And secondly, because the word and that you have in verse and submit, that word and is translated from a Greek conjunction that can be used for the purpose of explaining what goes before it. In which case, it may mean something like, and so, or it can mean, that is, or namely. Now this is a meaning that is intended in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 17 that I'm looking at. So this implies then that we can translate the command. Look, the command you have, obey your leaders and submit to the authority. We can translate this either one or two ways. We can say, obey your leaders and so submit to the authority. Or we can say, obey your leaders, that is, explaining it, submit to the authority. In either case, the apostle is linking obedience to submission, in either case. Now, this means that in effect, we can say that obedience is a way to prove submission. Obedience is the way you prove submission. Because you can't say, I submit to you. What does that mean? So the way you prove it, that you're submitting to someone, is by obedience. So that's what we're saying, they're linked. Can't separate, but can't separate them. Now, so you are probably wondering the reason for laboring to show you that there is no significant difference between the word obey and submit. This is because we're studying, we're not preaching. Anyway, now the reason we did this is because such understanding is essential in interpreting the verbal phrase submitting to each other of Ephesians 5 verse 21. It's very important. Now, if we understand that the word obey is not different from the word submit, then we can understand the verbal phrase to say that a result of the filling of the Spirit is obeying one another. See, when people, when they just, because they put the word submit, they say it means, I submit to you, you submit to me. Well, if that's the meaning, then we don't really have much of a problem. But when you really understand that the two mean the same thing like obey, that's where the problem now comes. And I'm going to explain it. So understanding this phrase then, this way, like taking it merely as submitting, leads to a problem that's difficult to resolve, both in Ephesians 5:21 and Ephesians 5:22 that we'll get to next, well, I don't really, beginning next week, put it that way. That although the Greek word used in verse 21 is not found in verse 22, but it is implied that the Greek word in verse 21 carries over to verse 22. We'll deal with it. But here's the thing. If we understand that obedience is linked to submission, so that when it says submit, we're talking about obedience. If you see that, then some of the things I'm going to develop become make more sense to you. Now, the major difficulty, though, is that the apostle will be saying then that the result of the filling of the Spirit is that believers should obey each other. See, instead of saying when they should submit to one another, then it will mean the apostle is saying believers should obey each other. Because if the word submit is not different from obey, remove submit, put obey. That's what I'm saying. Now, so such understanding then certainly destroys any concept of authority that is constituted by God. In other words, if that means that we should obey one another, my argument is that destroys the whole concept of authority. Now, how, you may ask? Well, if every believer, and I'm going to show you so you can see how absurd that will be. If every believer is to obey each other, the instruction of Hebrews chapter 13 verse 17 that I just looked at, that requires believers to obey their leaders become unattainable. Since leaders will also have to obey other members of the congregation. Now leaders are supposed to be those who teach the word of God to the congregation. So when the congregation is told to obey the spiritual leader or leaders, it's not the person, it's what they are teaching you, what they are telling you. That's what you're obeying. So if each believer must then obey the other, then not in case any member of the congregation from teaching whatever he desires and expect others to obey them, including their leaders. Now this will certainly destroy the concept of authority that God has instituted for the operation of the local church. God's order is that it is one in authority that should be obeyed. That's God's order. One who is in authority, that's the one that is to be obeyed. Now consider the instruction given in Colossians 3 verse 20, so I can show you the absurdity of getting all these things mixed up. Colossians 3 verse 20. Now keep remembering that I'm saying, if people maintain, and which we now know, that submit and obedience are about the same word, really. It just depends on a few things. So, if we say submit to one another, and to make it see the difficulty, put submit, obey one another. So here is a problem. Listen to what we say. Say, children, obey your parents in everything. Isn't saying something? In everything. Now look at what he said. For this pleases the Lord. Now let me now show you what I mean. Suppose that there is a child, a teenager, really. Not even a child, because when I think about what I'm saying now, unfortunately, it's almost true today that there are a whole lot of parents who obey their little kids. That is true today. A lot of parents obey their little kids because they do what they want them to do, which is sad, but anyway, we're not getting into that for now. So here's the thing, then what I'm saying is, suppose there is a child who is a believer in a congregation where the parents are. Then the implication is that the parents should also obey their children, not only in the congregation, but at home. Because you say, submit to one another, obey one another. So you can't say, well, I'm the parent, I obey, but you can't obey me. It wouldn't work. If that's meaning in Ephesians 5:21. So this is what I say is an unattainable position. So, you see, it would not make sense to think that the Apostle Paul is teaching all believers to obey each other in public worship or outside of it. Remember when I said there's a group that have just come out with that teaching that husbands should submit to their wife and wife submit to their husband. That means a wife, husband obey your wife, a wife obey your husband. It is what I call allowing the culture to influence the Bible instead of the other way around. They're trying to accommodate what is fashionable or politically correct in this country instead of what the Bible says. So, Paul could not be teaching this. So this means that the word submit, as encountered in Ephesians 5:21, should be interpreted based on its context and the context of the entire scripture that does not destroy the concept of authority in any kind of setting. That is to say, regardless of how a person, even if they don't believe what I'm going to be explaining to you, no matter how you interpret the word submit, you cannot destroy the concept of authority, which is what this group of denomination did when they gave their statements about a few years ago. And they said there has to be a mutual submission between husband and wife. Anyway. And to avoid any confusion that arises then from the word submit, and to interpret correctly what the apostle meant in stating that a result of the filling of spirit is submitting to each other, we need then to examine or to consider in detail the word submit that is used in Ephesians 5 verse 21. You remember that's the word I said, adefied. When I was looking at the general words, Hebrew and Greek, I said, adefied that word until now. Now the word submit is translated from a Greek word, hupotasso. HYPOTASSO. Hupotasso. This Greek word literally means to order oneself under a leader, and so it means to submit. But such a meaning is not always communicative in many contexts of the scripture, which is one of the reasons there's a confusion as to the meaning of the word in our passage. Now, if you pull the word, sometimes means to rearrange something under another. And that's really to rearrange something under another. Anyway, now the Greek word though has a range of meanings that fit a given context. The word can mean to obey when there is a concept of authority involved. In other words, the meaning to obey can be used in all passages where our Greek word appears that involve an authority figure. Even though the word can mean to submit, but in every passage where there's an authority figure involved, it should mean obey. And I'm going to illustrate that. Now, let me then give you an example so you understand why I say that. The word is used in describing the relationship of Jesus to his parents in Luke chapter 2, verse 51. Luke chapter 2, verse 51. Luke 2, 51 reads, then he went down to Nazareth
with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. See, the verbal phrase was obedient to them is more literally from the Greek, was submitting to them. Here the translators of the NIV capture correctly the meaning of our Greek word as to obey, since it is the way to understand a child being submissive to the parents. To say that the child is submissive to the parents, what does that mean? It means they obey the parents. Now the Greek word is used to describe the relationship of believers to a secular government or the governmental authorities in Romans chapter 13 verse 1. Romans chapter 13 verse 1. He reads, everyone must submit himself to the authority, to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Here to submit to governing authorities means to obey them. Now it is used to describe, the same word, Greek word is used to describe the relationship that should exist between Corinthians and Stephanas, the first convert in Achaia, who is presumed to be their spiritual leader in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 16. He reads, to submit to such as these, and to everyone who joins in the work and labors at it. Now the apostle of course meant that believers in Corinth should obey him and other spiritual leaders, as they are described in the expression, such as these, and to everyone who joins in the work. Now the Greek word is used to describe submission of the church to Christ in Ephesians 5:24. Ephesians 5:24 reads, now as a church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Now the word submit appears only once in the Greek text of Ephesians 5 verse 22 24, and it is in connection with the relationship of the church to Christ. Now it is difficult to understand what it means that the church submits to Christ if it does not mean that the church obeys Christ. Otherwise, when you say submit to Christ, what are you talking about? Now the word submits could also be replaced then with the word obeys. Now our Greek word is also used to describe the relationship of wives to their husbands in Colossians 3 verse 18. Where it says, wives, submit to your husbands as fitting in the Lord. Now this passage of course indicates that wives are under the authority of their husbands, so that to submit means to obey. Now we find the same Greek word used to enjoin believers to submit to God the Father in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 9. And really, looking at time, I think it's best after break.